Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome to the Hashtag Finance Master show. Today's the topic, why CFOs should be chief value officers. I don't think I'm the first that have, so to speak, advocated for this transition or at least discussed if this is something we should do. But I'm very excited for the discussion today and, of course, also to hear your perspective. We also have the Softer Side of Finance podcast released every Monday. So lots of action there. I'll be going through the blog post, why CFOs should become chief value officers. So let's kick things off. Whether it's the rise of new technologies like artificial intelligence, machine learning, new and complex compliance roles and regulations, or the continued evolution of the corporation into the corporate citizen, the corporate world continues to adapt and change. Probably the thousandth time I'm saying something like this, but the change is truly the only constant. And with change in the world, so do we see change in the CFO role. This is why we think finance should be future-proofing itself by encouraging the rise of the chief value officer, or at least as an, let's call it, ambition metaphor. What is a chief value officer and why is it important? What is the traditional way of measuring success? Income versus expenditure? The way organizations measure success is expanding to include more than simply the dual columns of the double entry bookkeeping system. The way value is calculated is changing with times. And so the chief value officer role is about being able to measure success outside of pure monetary value. So what do we mean when we say value? Let's keep digging into this. It's important to distinguish between accounting for financial value as realized via transactions and thinking about how to capture the value and create value. For example, the CFO thinking like a CVO or chief value officer might include human capital in the ledger. At least I've heard many finance professionals and people outside of finance speaking about when do we get people on the balance sheet? Because after all, it's intangibles and human capital that is driving significant parts of the global value creation today. Not simply the cost of labor, of course, that's a given, but perhaps they start thinking of staff well-being, physical and mental, or staff fulfillment at work, or even something like social capital, where companies may get improved performance from more diverse groups of people. The question to ask is, if staff were happier and healthier, might there be some benefit to the business, such as more productivity or less costly turnover of staff that we could capture as a kind of value add? You might think that touching so much on the people topic from a CFO or CVO point of view is kind of fluffy. But I've been on a webinar earlier today. I was facilitating or moderating a panel debate yesterday, and I can guarantee you that the people topic keeps coming up in various shapes and forms, both inside the finance function. How do we change, adapt, and grow to meet the increased demands? How do we keep our talent by making the finance function a great place to be? How do we fix the talent shortage? There's a stat shared yesterday that I think BDO in the US has calculated that every year in the US, we lose net 25,000 accountants to retirement. And there's not a lot of youngsters coming into the field. So obviously, this is going to prove a significant challenge going forward. But even if you look outside finance, the war for talent is certainly on. We have the great resignation following the pandemic, where people are saying no to working like this, yes to working like something else. Of course, the challenge is most companies the same when you look at the workplace culture and what it's like to be there. But it also means that companies can get significant competitive advantages by thinking differently about human capital and the way they treat and attract talent. So as this is such a big value driver in a company, CFOs cannot afford to not be in this discussion. Of course, there are other value creation areas outside of finance, intellectual capital, innovation, digitization, or environmental capital. But value can be created by thinking about sustainability and green impacts by the organization. Perhaps the reputation or attractiveness of the company to millennial and Gen X and Gen Z job seekers. I've recently coined the term finance function 5.0. Spoke about it in Amsterdam a few weeks back. I had the pleasure of being interviewed for a magazine recently on this as well. And following the rebranding of the CFO series, which is running right now, we'll talk about finance function 5.0, what it is, on this exact channel. But essentially, if we cannot solve the ESG, but also more plainly, sustainability equal to value creation equation, we're going to struggle globally with what we're trying to achieve. So as you can see, apart from simply driving shareholder value creation, which is a traditional way of looking at what CFOs should do, there are so many other value drivers outside the financial realm that the CFO needs to get involved in. And that's why the rebrand to a chief value officer could make sense, because value is broader than financials. So if it's a chief financial officer, it puts you in a box, and we need to break out of that box. I don't expect the title will change officially, but this is the way CFOs should see themselves. Do you have thoughts on this, questions, or perspectives? Feel free to raise your hand, come up on stage, and share your thoughts. And we have Steve on the stage. Steve, welcome to the stage.
Hi, Anders. You make a completely valid point. I'm not sure in terms of the rest of the C-suite how much they like the idea of a chief value officer designation, because it might look like the responsibilities and, if you like, the credit are attributed to one person, whereas I think value generation is a team sport and needs to be applied across the whole C-suite, maybe more of an orchestrator role. And also, I think then part of it becomes, from a existing CFO's perspective, I think part of it becomes, okay, how do these other measures, how do I find a basis for integrating them with financial measures? Because your financial measures are going, for the foreseeable, are going to remain your main sort of North Star, if you like, in reporting to the outside world. But then your ability to integrate those other sources of information to then be able to prove, rather than it being anecdotal, that you can actually prove empirically that, yes, greater employee engagement contributes to better bottom line, etc.
Great points, Steve. And I really want to touch upon this point about integrating other measures into your way of looking at value creation. And I want to do this because there's new sort of directions for ESG reporting coming into the corporate world. It might be implemented differently in different jurisdictions around the world, but at least in Europe, we are looking at potentially 134 new KPIs that we need to report on. Maybe some of them you're already reporting on as a business, but I can guarantee you, not all of these 134 are financial KPIs. So we better practice now how to implement these and how to look at these and how to drive performance through these. Because if it's a pure reporting game, we're going to waste a lot of corporate resources and we're going to miss a lot of opportunities that are going to arise in the world that we live in today. Because ESG, of course, it's seen a lot in the risk perspective, but there's certainly also a lot of opportunities. So if you don't know today how to integrate all these KPIs, you better start working on it. You might not be in the first scope of companies having to implement these, but you will at some point be, no matter how small of a company you are, because you might be supplying to a big company. And big companies are responsible for the whole supply chain. And there you go. Then you need to report on it. So think about not only how to measure it, but like you said, Steve, how to integrate it into how you run the company and how you drive performance management and everything else that the CFO should be driving. I fully agree that we don't want to take credit for the value created in the company, right? That's a team sport, and we need to promote that across the C-suite and across the company in general. Thanks for those perspectives. So essentially, we could say, don't look for a finance chief, hire value creation officers. Technology is liberating the finance function to be more, do more, and influence more. Less time is taken up, and fewer full-time employees' time is taken up with labor-intensive manual processing of financial data. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of you sitting out there thinking, hey, you know, Anders, I've heard about this 5-10 years, but I'm still caught up in all these manual processes and everything is not streamlined yet. It will happen at some point because, let's say, technology is available to do it. It's becoming cheaper, nimbler, faster, easier to use. With cloud, everything is available also to smaller companies. So if you're not doing it today, you should think about how can we do it. Don't ask what's possible. Ask how can we make it happen. To take advantage of these developments, the CFO's main purpose should then be to drive value creation by acting as a trusted partner to the board and the CEO, of course. To do this effectively, CFOs need to understand both the big picture when it comes to subjects like sustainability, staff well-being, or digitization, as well as mastery when it comes to interrogating the minute details of their company, which allows them to give practical, actionable, and well-reasoned insight to the board and the C-suite. We have Jitendra on the stage now as well. Jitendra, feel free to unmute yourself, introduce yourself, and share your perspectives or ask questions.
Hi, my name is Jitendra, and we're all talking about the value creation. So I understand that value is very broad perspective in terms of your wealth generations as well as non-wealth type, which is on people side. And I understand that you are putting more emphasis on people side. But my question is, will there not be any conflicts between the CFO, traditional CFO, and the chief people officer? Because I understand the people side's becoming more visible to the chief people officer perspective, like chief people officer may responsibilities to look at the people side and how they can add value to the whole organizations and as well as the community and the society from ESG perspective. Now, how we can mitigate this conflict if really we are thinking to add people side to the CFO umbrella, under the CFO umbrella. So don't you see any conflict between the two sets of responsibilities?
It's a great question, Jitendra. And the way I see it is that I don't see the CFO as owning these drivers, owning the responsibility for creating a workplace where people want to come and making sure we retain talent and everything else. But I see the CFO to be a business partner to the chief people officer, just like they would to the chief commercial officer, chief operations officer, all the other C-suite members and the CEO on the board, of course, right? So they need to help chief people officers to become more data-driven for sure, but also understand, okay, so what are the impacts of what we are seeing? So if the staff turnover is high, what's the impact? If our external brand is low, what's the impact? I think that's the kind of discussions that the CFO can help the chief people officer drive. But we don't want to take accountability and responsibility for delivering out of their hands. We want to set them up for success by helping them drive their priorities. I think that's the way I would see it. And as such, there is, at least on paper, no conflict. But as with anything today, it requires that the CFO is a great business partner. But if he or she is not, then everything else falls anyway. So the CFO needs to be a great business partner for all of this to work. I hope that answered the question.
Yes, I think you answered very wisely and very comprehensively. And thanks.
Thanks, Jitendra. Thanks a lot for coming to the stage. So it's a simple question, how CFOs can then create, deliver, and sustain value. I mean, CFOs are already experts at defining value because they help to shape the company's purpose, strategy, KPIs, and benchmarks. Creating value, although, is another thing altogether. And one thing is to define and measure. Creating is, as what Steve also said, that's a team sport, right? So value creation comes as a result of making the right key strategic decisions on opportunities and risks, or products, customers, and markets. But it's the investment in or budget allocation to something that allows these strategic imperatives to become value creating. So the CFO, being the main responsible person for allocating capital and resources, plays a huge role in ensuring that the right initiatives, the right choices, gets well-resourced, and where we don't see big opportunities, get no resource. Because the typical challenge in a corporate environment is that we spread resources too thin across too many initiatives, because every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the company needs to have their own pet project. And if I'm a business unit head and I get no funding for new projects, then I can't run my business, and so on and so forth. You've probably all seen or heard these kind of corporate discussions. But reality is, if you really want to move and drive value creation, you need to find your 1 in 10 wins. The ones, things that can really become big, become something else, and become something that will create value for your company in the next years, not just today. By understanding and informing these strategic imperatives, CFOs occupy prime real estate as the right-hand person to the CEO to help deliver value for both customers and the business. CFOs need to create value by being trusted business partners, like we said. CFOs are the best placed CXO role for operationalizing the company strategy, because they sit between and are capable of integrating operational, risk, and financial considerations to achieve the grand strategic objective. CFOs have an important role to play in balancing the short-term benefits of value creation with the long-term societal, environmental, and organizational impacts. It's big shoes the CFO needs to walk in. But I can tell you this, if the CFO doesn't, someone else will. Someone else always will. The finance function is not acting as a business partner, generating insights, influencing decisions, driving the impact. Someone else will. There's always someone else that will, but I can also guarantee you this. It will not deliver as high a return as if the CFO and the finance team steps into this chief value creation officer role. Let's call it like that. Should we then rebrand the CFO to chief value officer? In many ways, the CFO is already performing the role of a CVO. Does that mean we should change the job title? A clear emphasis on value creation in the job title would certainly remove any doubt about what the CFO's responsibilities are. Let's be clear though, the CFO's strength is in their finance specialism and expertise, their strength in the numbers. They are strategic partners to the CEO and other board members, specifically because of the finance perspective to value creation that their role brings. It sets them apart and makes them unique. So rebranding as chief value officers would only water down this unique selling point and make it more difficult to stay true to their finance home. Let's not forget that CFOs are also responsible for financial reporting, risk management, and compliance. Those are also important parts of the job. What's more important, though, is that CFOs embrace their role as drivers of value creation, expand their role as drivers of business growth, and develop a mindset that allows them to think like a CVO. What do you think? Stick or switch? Should CFOs really be called chief value officers? Let us know. Q&A is open. If you have thoughts, perspectives, questions, feel free to raise hand, come up on stage and share those. And Steve and Jitendra, feel free to chip in as well.
It's Jitendra again. In Europe, how do you see the mindset of the corporate people to include human factors in the balance sheet?
Yeah, I think actually recording it on a balance sheet is probably not near, I would say, but as I mentioned before, also when replying to Steve, with the new ESG reporting coming into play, I mean, there's a lot more factors that we need to account for in the company than just the financial KPIs and whatever perhaps non-financial KPIs we've been reporting on. So I think that in itself will give a push in the right direction to look at value creation more holistically. But accounting for your human capital on the balance sheet, it's not an easy discussion, I would say, or easy thing to answer, but I think it's something that's worthwhile discussing for sure.
Yep, thanks.
So while I do like to talk about the CFOs as chief value officers, I, as you can hear, probably want to stay with the CFO terms for some good reasons, but the rebrand is probably more in the mindset of finance people, but certainly also in how we want other functions to perceive the CFO and the finance function. We should be perceived as drivers of value creation. So we're driving it. We're not necessarily executing to create it. And that's an important distinction. Steve, do you want to add something?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, Anders, given kind of economic evolution where more and more organizations, the gap between their market value or for a public company and their book value is becoming wider and wider, to what extent do you think analysts are looking at these type of things? So like you say, human capital management, your brand, looking at brand sustaining and enhancing activities, and whether they're actually, you're pulling on the right levers. Yeah, because some of these can be quite difficult to measure, or, you know, historically they've been quite difficult to integrate with your actual financial measures. And therefore, it's a fairly inexact science, or seems to have been a fairly inexact science.
It is certainly, at least for now, an inexact science, Steve. But I think the rise of ESG investing, for instance, also showcases that in the investor community, this is also coming. And probably it came there first before it really came in into the big corporates. So I think they would definitely be looking at it, because as you mentioned, the expected value creation from a company has moved even further into the future than it was maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, where the balance sheet consisted of more tangible assets than it does today. So to really holistically evaluate a company, you would need to look more at these metrics than what you used to. So I think the ones that get smart about this first, I think they'll be able to make some great investments and make some great profits. And the laggards, they will probably be challenged to keep up their expected return requirements, both as investors, but also from the shareholders' perspective. So I think this will come more and more, even though I should say I'm not an expert in this, so don't take investment advice from me based on this, but I do see it coming more and more. All right, if there's any final question, now's the time. Otherwise, we will start to round off today's show.
Yeah, Andrew, one question. I heard you said that chief value officer or chief financial officers drives the value, not execute the value. Would you mind elaborating the fine line between driving and executing in terms of value creation?
Absolutely. So we make lots of decisions in the company every day, week, month, whatever. And those decisions, of course, they need to be executed. Now, a CFO's or a finance person's role doesn't stop when the decision is made. We need to follow up on the execution, but we don't do the actual execution. So we're not overseeing or controlling, we're following it, being curious about how is the impact of the decisions that we have made, so we can get feedback in a timely manner back to the decision-making team to understand, are we achieving the outcomes that we expected? If yes, we can always ask, can we do more of the same to create even more value? And if no, it falls on us to understand, okay, so what do we need to do differently in order to actually achieve our expected outcomes? But while there would be some parts like on, let's say, on the balance sheet in terms of banks and different things that we will execute, that can drive value creation, rarely is it the core business model of the company. So we're close to the execution, but we don't execute. We drive to help them achieve the right outcomes.
Absolutely spot on. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sandra. Okay, I'm going to round off today's show. We asked a bold question and then we said no ourselves. Sometimes that's how it is. But I hope you've enjoyed the discussion about CFOs becoming CVOs, or maybe not, or more in the mindset. And we'll be back with the last episode of the CFO rebranding series. And then we also have one or two interviews as part of the series. So lots of great content still to come. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Again, we had more than 100 people at us at one point. I truly appreciate that. And I wanted to give a big thanks to Steve and Jitendra for coming up on stage. You make this show definitely worthwhile and much more interesting. And thanks a lot to everyone who listened in. I hope to see you again next time. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?